Hallelujah. Well, this morning we're going to look at Joel 2:28. And the good thing is, we just spent a week in France, but I put the finishing touches on this sermon before we left France. And you know what I did? I left it right on the front couch. So when I got the word, when we were in France, and I got the word that we would be here this Sunday, I thought, praise the Lord. I'm ready to roll. I have that sermon right there. All I have to do is get home and just, you know, do my little touches here and there. But the good thing is, I might look a little tired. I might act a little tired because I do not sleep well on planes. Does anybody actually sleep good on planes in this room? Can you like just get in a plane and it's like you're at home? I cannot do that. And, you know, of course, when you're on a big flight, they serve you meals twice, so they wake you up at the end as well. They feed you at the beginning and they feed you at the end, so you're going to wake up anyways. But and then, of course, it's all the things you have to deal with. I cannot stand security checks at airports any longer. I think we just went through like four. And if I get to heaven one day and there's like this gate with a security check and I need a boarding pass and I have to take off my shoes to get into heaven, I'm going to be a little bit bummed. But you know what is crazy? My wife just reminded me, when we got back to the U.S. last night, I think we arrived back in LAX close to like 5:30-ish. They didn't even need our passports to get through the passport terminal. They just scan your face. How wild is that? I have my four passports out. They didn't even need them. Like, oh, welcome back. Welcome back, Mr. Martinez. Like, oh, goodness, that's pretty wild. But this morning we're going to look, though, at the unique work of God's Holy Spirit. And this is actually such a good time to talk about the Holy Spirit because we just spent a week in France. And let me tell you, France has such a history of sending out Christianity to the world. And if you don't believe me, just go hang out in Quebec, go visit Montreal. You will see churches unlike you've ever seen before. And then, of course, when you're hanging out in Paris or anywhere around the area of France, churches everywhere. We rented a car this time. We drove through the little countryside. And every little village or town you see, you know what the highlight is? God's church. And they stick up nice and tall with their spires. But we took the kids to see the original Mona Lisa. Ba-da-do-ba-do-ba-do-ba. Anyways, that is the original 16th century. Do you remember the date, hon? You read it. It was like 15-something crazy. 15-something. Anybody want to guess who painted that? Leonardo da Vinci. How wild is that? Now, they do have her behind this big plexiglass that can disappear really quickly. That whole case behind her goes under the floor or above the floor. I don't even know what, in case some of those cuckoos come and pour like soup on her or something crazy. You probably read about this in the news. The protesters, I don't know, whatever they have going on. But this is the original, 100% protected, which I thought was really, really cool. I wanted the kids to see Mona Lisa once in their lifetime because you see her face everywhere, don't you? You see it on the advertisements and on and on. But the one thing I wanted to mention this morning, as we look into the unique work of the Spirit, and I really felt very inspired by being in France because we just got to see churches unlike any other churches before. I'm going to save one for you for the end of our time together this morning. We'll save that one for the end, okay, brother? And but if you would open up your Bibles to Joel 2:28, and my wife reminded me that, you know, sometimes it is nice to get gifts, isn't it? Have you received a gift recently from anybody? Anybody give you a gift? Well, my wife reminded me the Holy Spirit is a gift that is directly sent from the Father. Isn't that awesome to think about Holy Spirit being a gift for us? So good to see you. Praise the Lord. But I would say the gift of the Spirit is such a powerful thing. So let's see what he says here in Joel 2:28. And I'm going to read a little bit more than just 2:28. And afterwards, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And then he says, even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Ooh, praise God. We should hit that note again. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there will be deliverance. And the Lord has said among the survivors whom the Lord calls. Now if we could, we're going to switch gears over to Philippians. Paul writing to the church in Philippi. We're going to look at Philippians 1, 1 through 6. That's the first chapter of Philippians 1 through 6. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Don't you love that? That means the Holy Spirit hasn't been laid off, amen? He's still active in your life. He's here and now. This can be the year of God's Spirit. Amen? He didn't take a break and go to France and you won't see him until next year. He's here and now active in your life. And that's why I thought it was so cool when you come back into the United States and you see all the people having to get in line for the passport re-entry. There's these other big shots that bought this thing called Global Entry. And they just go up to this little tiny line and they go in. The Holy Spirit is much like that global entry. He is a direct source to power and strength and victory in God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So it's time to get to know Him. A little bit later, we're going to look at something in 2 Corinthians that I jotted down last night. And this will be good too. But Paul, when you look about how he wrote this, he seems very confident that at the beginning of this letter, he reminds us that the Spirit of God is the source of all godly works that are in your life and in the lives of those you love. The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Not only that, but Paul is also confident that the work of the Spirit will be carried on till what? Halfway? Three-quarter mark? 80% mark? 90% mark? He says, no, until completion. He's a God of 100%. Are you a person of 100%? I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to help you on this day, I'm going to come mow your lawn, I'm going to I'm tired. Sometimes we don't even get to 100%, but I'll tell you one thing. The work will be carried on until the glorious day when Jesus Christ returns and He will see us to completion. Amen? Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is much like an infilling. Do you ever make a pie or a cake and you put something in it? Who likes to bake here? We were just in France, the land of, I don't even know how you say it, patisserie, boulanger, all these little places, and you never know what's inside. There was this one place at breakfast we went to, this cute little pastry. Who knows what was inside? I don't read French. I studied Spanish and Italian, but French takes a little extra. They have so many extra letters in their words they don't even pronounce. Why even add all these extra letters, X's and T's they don't even say? So I'm looking at all these monstrous words, and I'm thinking, I don't know what we're about to eat, but we bit into it. It was delicious. There was this infilling of deliciousness. And I got to tell you, that is much like the Holy Spirit. He is an infilling, amen? An infusion into our lives, an active force, praise the Lord. And I will say this morning, I thought of this question, what am I filled with on a weekly basis? What am I filling into my life? Have you lied recently? Have you gossiped recently? Have you slandered recently? Have you given into addiction recently? Have you been critical of somebody? What kind of feeling am I putting in me? If I'm filling myself with all of these things instead of the active infilling of the Holy Spirit, I have to represent the Lord the right way. Amen. There's an ancient story. I'm going to read it to you quickly. It's about a man named Astyages, and he determined to do away and kill a royal infant named Cyrus, who would later become one of the rulers of Persia. He summoned an officer to his court, and he told the officer to kill the baby prince. The officer in turn delivered the youngster to a herdsman, and that herdsman, he told the herdsman, take the baby up to a high mountain and let it pass away from exposure and do away with this child. But the herdsman and his wife decided to ignore the orders, take the child in, and raise him as their own son. And growing up in the home of those humble peasants, Cyrus naturally thought that these were his real parents. He was ignorant to the fact of his royal birth and his kingly heritage because he thought he was a peasant and he lived like one. Many Christians fail to realize the royal heritage that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen? The kingly heritage that we have. And we can live our spiritual lives like spiritual peasants. And when we should really be living royally, amen, like God's people. And according to the Apostle Paul, and it reads this way, believers are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All sons of God. He also said, because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, he says. And if you are a son, then you're an heir to God through Christ Jesus. Powerful. That is powerful. God has given us everything we need to live victorious. Do you feel like your victory level's taken a dive lately? We have all that we need to live victorious. Hallelujah. So let's not live like peasants in this world, amen, but let's live like kingly royalty because we are part of that heritage. In fact, John Wesley wrote this, rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Rejoice, give thanks and sing and triumph forevermore. That is the heritage we have. And it ends this way, a child of the King should reflect his father's character. Ooh. Isn't that something? You know how many times I wanted to get angry when we were in France because people don't take the time to be helpful? You don't want to ask for help to figure out the metro or all these things. They just won't take the time. Those busy Paris people. But I have to remember to always represent the Lord the right way. Amen? No matter who we might be a little bit put off with or what it might be, we always have to remember to represent the Lord the right way. So the first point that we have this morning that I wanted to mention is this. The unique work of the Spirit, and you want Him working in your life, don't you? Amen? We want the work of the Spirit in our lives every single day. The unique work of the Spirit comes down to the word new. Do you like new things? Anybody here like new things? New cars, new TVs. I have this one old TV. I just won't get rid of it because sometimes I like the old. Let me talk about new. We had this rental car in France. I had no idea how to work it. Everything is so high tech now. There's no key. It's all Wi-Fi in your phone. Your Wi-Fi has to connect to open the lock on the door. It has to read the Wi-Fi to make the car turn on. All the doors have to be like a certain way for it to work. I needed a teenager. And then I handed it over to my teenager, and he was struggling. I'm like, The 1973 version can't figure out, nor can the 2005. That's hilarious. But I'll tell you, sometimes when it comes to the new, when it comes to what the Holy Spirit does in our life, we want all things new, amen? New attitudes, new ways of thinking, new ways of talking to people, new ways of giving, new ways of really investing and really looking at people in a new way, the way the Lord would look at people. We want to be new men and women of God, amen? So we serve a God that makes all things new, which is wonderful. We serve a God that does that. But when we look back at people that we have known, we marvel at the renewing work of God's Spirit because we can see God change people's lives. Amen? Isn't that you? I've seen God restore marriages that you would think couldn't even be restored. I've seen the Lord take people that are about to commit suicide and make them into ministers of the gospel. You probably don't know that, but one of our ministers in the Assemblies of God, who is still an active minister for decades, he almost jumped off the back of a ship one time off of L.A. You know what stopped him? A voice, and said, "Do not do it. I have plans for you." Who do you think that was that says that? A spirit that makes all things new. Praise the Lord. Who needs Powerball? You see all those people rush to State Line or whatever prim to go buy those Powerball tickets. Maybe this way you head to Arizona, I have no idea. But everyone's rushing for something. May we rush to be a part of the Spirit's work of all newness. Amen. He is the biggest payout we'll ever have. Amen. Making all things new is the unique work of God's Spirit. And not only does He bring new life in the physical, but He also does it stronger and greater in the eternal. Amen. A place for us in heaven. That's what He's working on. He's greater than sickness and death. Praise God. He's greater than defeat. Praise God. And those of us that come to Christ for the first time or even rededicate our lives to the Lord, sometimes it's good to rededicate our lives every single year, amen? It's the Spirit that gives a new beginning to lives that are trapped in dead ends. Have that ever been you? It's like hitting that cul-de-sac. Oh, I'm going nowhere. Or, what happened? This one time, my wife and I, right before we started a family, We decided to buy this little single-family home. We didn't get a chance to see it. It was around 2005-ish. We didn't get a chance to see it. It looked pretty on the artist's renditioning, and then, of course, when they built the house, it like didn't even look half that nice. I'm like, oh my goodness, you gotta be kidding me. And then when we go in to do our inspection and start living in the house, nothing worked right. It was like whoever did the electricity, the wiring was all cuckoo. You hit this thing and you don't even know it's turning it on. And it was like, it was a nut house. It was a fun house. What's wrong with this place? So we called the builder and said, we need someone to come fix all this electrical stuff. It's like knobs that are doing nothing. So they sent this Hispanic guy named Jorge. He comes and he reworks. And we start preaching to the guy. We start telling him all about the Lord. We start telling him about our church. We start telling him that we're ministering in the neighborhood and on and on. Thank God I took Spanish at UNLV. And then one night we're asleep and really, really late. I don't remember what time it was. You might remember. But really, really late, we had our doorbell ring. And I'm thinking, what? Who in the world, unless it's an emergency, would be ringing our doorbell this time? There's Jorge the electrician. Drunk as a skunk at our front door. And I said, ¿Qué pasa? What's going on, Jorge? And he starts telling me in Spanish, I've been drinking way too much. I just crashed my truck on the beltway. Could you get me home? And I said, you know what? Let's do it. Let's get in the car. We get in the car, he starts crying, he starts telling me how he's been addicted to alcohol for years and years, it's affecting his marriage, his wife wants to leave him. He hit beyond a dead end. He's going off the dead end, amen? He's losing his marriage, he's probably going to lose his job because he can't operate, and he just crashed somewhere. I never got to see the truck. I connected him with our Spanish pastor, Eduardo, this cool guy from Guatemala. And then I checked on Jorge about a year later. I said, what's going on with Jorge? He said, this guy's so on fire for the Lord. His wife and he have been saved. Their marriage is strong. They're plugged into service. They're the most active members that we have. This is the unique work of the Holy Spirit. When God takes someone and makes them into a new one. Hallelujah. And He did it for me. He did it for many of you, and He will still do it because that is the work of God's Holy Spirit, making all things new, new wisdom, new guidance. You don't have to rely on your own faulty thinking. Is that you? You don't have to admit it if you don't want to. You don't have to rely on your own faulty thinking, your own human wisdom, your own self-guidance. You have a guide. We have something better. Don't you like having something better? We have the Spirit of God. It's the same Spirit that led Moses, led the prophets of old, spoke to Elijah, the same Spirit. How awesome is that? So when the Spirit comes into your life, old ways of living and thinking are abandoned, and a new way takes over. And that's why Jesus and his original movement was called the Way. It is a new way. Amen. Dead lives transformed. Hallelujah. And it might not always happen at once, but it is a progress. That's why Scripture says here, he will see it to completion. That means don't trip if it takes 10 years, 20 years. It's okay. It is a work of the Spirit. Never give up. When we were in France and we're going through the countryside, I told my son, imagine 70 years ago, Hitler's panzer tanks all through these valleys and hills heading towards Paris. Imagine panzer tanks all over heading towards central Paris. Hitler's Nazis marching down the Champs-Élysées right through the middle of the heart of Paris. And then pushing all the way to the coast to do what? Go for England next. But what did Winston Churchill say? Never, never, never give up. So we should never give up. Amen. Isn't that crazy to think, even in my own grandmother's life, that's what happened? Full-on Nazi movement throughout Europe. But God put an end to that, did he not? Whatever is a godless movement, God finds a way to destroy. That is also the work of God's Holy Spirit. Where is the dawn of a new life, amen? A new future, a new courage, hallelujah. And now I wanted to mention this. Let's see if I can find out who's from my generation by this thing I want to mention to you. Second point is this. Wake up to the Spirit. Did you wake up this morning? You're here. How did you wake up? Wake up to the Spirit and do not start a day without Him. Now let's see who's from my generation. The best part of waking up. We've secretly replaced our regular Folgers with Folgers crystals. Do you remember all that? The best part of waking up is to invite God's Spirit into our heart, our lives, our homes, our families' hearts, into their minds. The best part of waking up is to infuse God's Spirit into every single day. Jesus says to the church, one of the churches in the book of Revelation, wake up and strengthen what is about to die. And how can you ignore that? If he says, wake up and strengthen what is about to die. God recognizes that a dying spirit in a person's life can be like a spiritual coma. Because if you fall asleep too deeply, you might not wake up. And that's why he calls out for strengthening what remains. This is why we should employ this idea of waking up to the Spirit. What would that look like? Make it your own. You don't have to have me tell you how to do it. When you wake up, think of God's Spirit first. Amen? If it's having the Bible right by your bed, if it's having a little bit of Scripture time, if it's saying, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on this day, fall fresh on my mindset, my attitudes, everything, what it might be. If you get into your Scripture, maybe start with something very inspirational. Do you have like one of those inspirational books so you can read through the Bible in a year? Do you have one of those in your home? Maybe it's one of those. Maybe steer away from Ecclesiastes. I don't want you waking up going, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. But get into the Psalms, get into the Proverbs, whatever it might be. Read passages. Thank God for another new day. You know what my son said yesterday when we were going through LAX? Thanks, Dad, for giving me such a good life. Gratitude goes a long way. You might as well just shoot an arrow through my heart. Oh, that's so lovely to hear. Thanks, Dad, for giving us such a great life. I said, what did you think about seeing the Mona Lisa in person? He goes, that was cool. And we also went to Versailles Palace to see how Louis XIV and Marie Antoinette lived. Ooh, what a place. But that was such a great comment at the end. May we be people that look to our God in heaven every morning and say, thank you, Lord, for giving me such a good life. If my heart melted, I bet you'll melt God's heart too. All you have to do is tell him. He's the God of every new day, is he not? How many mornings do we open our eyes and we just speed right through it? I'm guilty of that. The Lord wants us to wake up every day to his Spirit, amen? Before we get in the shower or start brewing that coffee or whatever it might be, we invite His Spirit to do it. Our day, our thought life, honor it all up to the Father. Dedicate it to Him. Our third point this morning is this. You have to remember this too. It's the Spirit of God that discloses the truth of Christ Jesus. This is the best part. The Spirit is to lead us all to Jesus. And we need more Jesus. Amen. And not only that, but when we get to see and know more Jesus, that is what truly sets us free. We are called to be free. Not addicted. Not enslaved by anything. We are called to be free. Romans 1:4, Paul says this, Jesus, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God. But notice that. It mentions the Spirit. Jesus, who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God. By His resurrection from the dead. Many of us here need to be raised to new life. Amen. We need new perspective, new thinking. Christ was freed from death, and so are we. Hallelujah. And a lot of times the devil wants to grow things in our lives that leads to death. Death of a relationship, death of strength, death of victory. But God has the opposite. 1 Corinthians 2:9. I'm hitting you with a lot of scripture today, but you'll like it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. Hallelujah. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. So much to stop and pause and think about. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. That means to me that when I reject things that God tells me, I'm rejecting His Spirit. For they are foolishness to Him, and He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. There's a lot packed into that. There is a lot packed into that. Donald Blesch, in his book, one of my favorite books from Bible college, it's just titled very simply, The Holy Spirit. He says these words, especially vital for both faith and salvation, which are two things we're very concerned with, amen. We might even call them an ultimate concern. Especially vital for both faith and salvation is the revealing work of the Spirit. He reveals things, amen. How many times has He revealed something to you? Can you say a few? Countless? There are times, and this is something I'll share with you, and I think I might have mentioned it before, but there were times that I have wanted to say something critical about someone, and the Spirit has stopped me in my tracks. Could that be you? I like watch a lot of movies. I'm a movie buff, as you might know. And some of my favorite movies are from the 80s because that was kind of my time. And sometimes I might see a face or see something and go, that reminds me of, you know. And there are times where God, if I start to get a little bit critical of someone, God will stop me. I'll say, you know who that person reminds me of? Like, wait a minute. Stop right there. Or you know what? Those words? Nope. Stop right there. But I'll tell you one thing. He says this. Especially vital for both faith and salvation is the revealing work of the Spirit. The Spirit gives us the truth of Christ, the truth that He alone saves. He alone is the giver of faith, the liberator of those bound by sin. He alone is the giver of salvation and saves our souls from the horror of the second death called hell. He alone. The Spirit of God brought power to the life of Jesus, true power. And the Spirit brings life and power to the written Word of God. This book has power. Amen. Corinthians 2, 3-6 says, the letter by itself kills, but the Spirit gives life. 2 Corinthians 3:6, the letter by itself kills, but the Spirit gives life. And Christ reminds us in John 16:13 that when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. Isn't it nice to have a guide? I wish I had a guide sometimes in Paris. I'm thinking, how am I going to find this? How am I going to find that? But thank God we have smartphones now. Just like, Siri, take me to the Louvre. Siri, where is a pastry shop? But you know what? Her French is not so good. There was this one street she told us to turn on. It sounded like Fozzie Bear Press Wars. I'm like, what in the world is a Fozzie Bear Press Wars? But the kids thought it was so funny. I'm like, yeah, the Muppets, 1980s, Fozzie Bear. Look for Fozzie Bear, kids. If we can find Fozzie Bear, we got to make her right there. But the Holy Spirit comes and He is our guide into all truth. And that is what the Spirit does. He just testifies to the truth of Christ Jesus. Lastly, I want to mention this. Scripture is very clear. We are to test the spirits because not all works are the Spirit of God. Not all works are the Spirit of God. John in his letter in 1 John 4:1, he warns, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." What in the world is he talking about? Isn't that wild? Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. John warns that falsehood is in the world. Do you believe that? Falsehood is in this world, honestly? Yes, big time. And he gives us a formula to recognize when something is from God's Spirit. It says, if the Spirit acknowledges that Christ came in the flesh, then it is from God. And those that do not acknowledge Christ are not from the Lord. An acknowledgement of Christ, it comes down to an acknowledgement of Christ. And this country suffers from lying spirits. Amen? If you don't believe me, just keep your eyes open for a few days. You will see it everywhere. Remember, not every new work is from God. Not every experience, not every vision, not every insight, not every thought is going to be from the Lord. In other words, there are forces that influence our lives, not just to the presence of God, but to the opposite. There are forces in this world like that. And how do we recognize the Spirit's work from our God? Does it acknowledge Christ? What does God's Word say? Does it acknowledge Christ? That is the formula. There's this one awesome pastor named Sergio Scattaini. He's an Argentinian pastor. And he said often when he's on the road by himself, he's a married man, he said, when I'm on the road by myself, I have to remember to stay holy for myself and for my marriage, to hold it up high. And he said, and there was this one time he was at an airport all by himself, sitting by himself in the airport, and he said this attractive woman came walking straight towards him. He looked up, his eye caught her eye, and she gave a little smile, a little flirty smile at him, and the seat next to him was open. And he said, you know what God's Spirit told me? Run. I didn't send her. So here comes that cute little smiley face getting ready to come and sit down next to him. And he was thinking, but wait a minute, maybe I could talk to her about the Lord. Maybe we could talk about ministry, or maybe I could witness to her. And God's Spirit said, I said, run. I did not send her. Pretty interesting. But not every moment is from the Lord. And if the Lord intervenes, obey. Amen. The danger lies, though, in confusing the inspiration of God's Spirit with our own opinions, our own ideas, our own wishes, our own ambitions. The Holy Spirit does not support our self-driven interests, only the interests of the Father. What does Scripture say? The Spirit is not the only work in the world amongst us. Shirley Guthrie, in his book, he reminds us that there are other spirits in this world, and he says, including our own individual spirit. Have you ever had a kid and you thought, ooh, that kid is strong-willed? He says there are other spirits, our individual spirit, our spirit of interest groups, spirits of the time, of the times, spirits of envy, revenge, malice, greed, lust, etc. And what can we do? We do not confuse the Holy Spirit with any desire, thought, or feeling that is within us. Only that comes, that acknowledges Jesus as Christ. Amen? Do not confuse the Holy Spirit with any human-made ideology. He alone shapes us. We don't shape Him. Amen? He alone shapes the world. The world does not shape Him. And the world thinks it has all the answers, doesn't it? They think they're big shots. Like, we have it all together. But the point is, God always wants you to know where we have to look for the answers, and that is to His Spirit. This is the unique work of what the Holy Spirit is all about. The same Spirit that was uniquely present working in the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord. So I wrote down this one scripture. It's 2 Corinthians. Where did I put it? I just wanted to mention it to you this morning. Let's see, 2 Corinthians 2:15. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. We are called to be the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. When we walk by some of these pastry shops in France, oh, that aroma hits and it is powerful. Pastries and chocolates and breads. Amazing. We are called to be an aroma to the world. Amen? Truly bring people closer to God's Spirit. If you could, brother, put that last picture up. I wanted to send this picture this morning. This is the Notre Dame in the heart of Paris. Isn't that cool? What a house to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? But you can see, if you look towards the back, it might be hard to see, it's a lot of scaffolding because they have been rebuilding it since it caught fire. And you see all the work they're doing up front, again, it caught fire. But that church started, I think, in the 12th century. Can you imagine? America wasn't even, no Europeans even stepped foot in the New World at that time, and this church had begun in France. But the crazy thing is, when I thought about it, I thought we would end with this. When I thought about it, this work is still under completion because it suffered a setback. Do you remember when the Notre Dame caught on fire? They are still working on it, and you can Google it when that happened. They're still working on it all these years later. And it hit me just like we were looking in our scripture today. What were we talking about today? Being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. One day, this church might be completed from the setback it had. And I'll tell you this morning, as we close today, you can know that in your life, whatever setbacks you have, the Spirit is still active. Amen? You won't have a crumbled roof. You won't have a burnt out attic. Whatever life has brought against you, you will one day be completed in Christ Jesus. And that is the unique work of God's Spirit. And I hope one day we get back to this church and we can get invited in again. Inside there, what existed, you would be amazed what existed. Altars carved with every scene of Jesus' life. It was spectacular to see. Priests raising their hands in the air and praying over the people coming in. It wasn't just a museum. It was an active ministry of God going on in these rooms. And it's had a setback, but it will be completed. And that's the active work of God's Holy Spirit. Amen? Spectacular church, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Spectacular. Well, I want you to just remember this day that we are called to be the people of God. Amen? We are called to be the people of God in this valley. And may we be the ones that have the soil of the heart that is able to be worked and let the Holy Spirit do His active work. And let's go ahead and stand and pray this morning. Lord, thank You so much this day. Thank You, Father. May we always be grateful in our hearts for what You've done, what You've accomplished, what You will accomplish, Lord. We want to thank you this morning, Lord, that we remember that you make all things new. You make all things fresh. You make all things beautiful. Hallelujah. And Lord, may that work continue in the lives of everyone in this room, the people that love you, the people that are called this church. Hallelujah. And Lord, may we not start a day without you, praise the Lord. May we always remember to give you our first and best thoughts of the day. Hallelujah. A little moment to just say thank you, Lord. Let your spirit be upon this day, upon this week, upon this month. And Lord, may we remember that truly it's your spirit that discloses the truth of Christ Jesus to us. No homegrown philosophies or remedies needed. Your spirit will do it automatically through the reading of this word, the gifts of the Spirit, hallelujah. And we recognize this day, Lord, that your Spirit reigns supreme, not the spirit of our own thoughts, our own minds, our own philosophies, or whatever's happening in our culture, Lord, that we are to test the spirits, and it only will acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, and that we know is from you. Father, bless your people. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon this church in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for all that you're doing in this world, Lord, because it needs you so much. We need you so much. And may we be the workers, Lord, that keep the world reminded that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Savior. And in your name we pray, Christ Jesus. Amen.